taking aim at the noise, the lies, and the disinformation of mainstream media. Your warrior of the facts. Here's Dan Newman.
Every Tuesday, Steve Baker joins us live from wherever he is on the planet to talk about, you know, things of importance, really important things. And we usually talk Tuesday sometime to try to get that all lined out. Well, we did just that yesterday, and we talked about the things that we were going to talk about today. And as I just got him on the phone, I said, well, where are we going with this? And we both just chuckled because since yesterday, there's about 50 new things that have come online. So, Steve, we've got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Which one of those do you want to dig into first today?
I'll tell you what I'm going to do first. I'm going to out you on something, a text you sent me the other day. You sent me a text, and you said that you were going to cancel your show because there just wasn't enough to talk about anymore. and I looked at the text the first time, and I got a knot in my gut. I can't be serious. And then I read it again, and I went, okay, this is sarcasm. and today is one of those days. I mean, this just couldn't be a slower news day, could it, Dan?
Oh my gosh. I don't know if you were able to listen to any of the first hour, but I went nuts on Antony Blinken and Joe Biden. I mean, it's like, what the heck are these people thinking? I just don't understand. Are they that stupid? Are they so messed up and realize, oh my gosh, we can't dig our way out of it, so we're just going to start telling lies to the people and hope it flies over their heads? China doesn't respect our nation. They certainly don't respect our president. They wouldn't even meet with him and didn't want Blinken to come over there. But when he went over anyway, they thought, we'll give him 45 minutes right before he takes off to leave to go home. That's so embarrassing.
Well, you know, the most frightening thing, though, Dan, is that, these are the things that they allow us to see. But the Chinese Communist Party influence over the United States right now is so immense. It is so deep. It is so entrenched, even in the halls of Congress. And I'm not talking about just the left side of the aisle in Congress.
Oh, no.
They have their fingers, and they have their influence in the deep bank accounts, the offshore bank accounts of so many GOP members. It is frightening. And I don't say this as a conspiratorialist. I say this from very close knowledge about what's going on in D.C. right now. And when you combine that with the influence from, well, we don't have George Soros running his empire anymore. He's handed that off to his much worse son. But the point being, when you combine that influence, you combine the CCP influence, you combine the big tech influence, and then you ask yourself, why are so many of these things taking place right now that are so obvious to an overwhelming now majority of Americans? And I'm talking about on both sides within the grassroots. The polling every day is showing more and more and more Americans are believing that there's substance to this Hunter Biden story, that there's substance to this Joe Biden influence bribing scheme. We are seeing more and more polling showing that a substantial majority believe these things are taking place. And guys like you and me and so many others that are following this closely are getting more and more frustrated with the Republican Party, because at the end of the day, they're going to have to do something other than mean tweets, something other than just sending letters to the various powers that be, whether they're on the other side of the aisle or whether they're the head of the ATF or the head of the IRS or to Merrick Garland. If they don't start doing something substantive, Dan, we're at our end right now. And I hate saying that. It has been up until just the last two or three years that I had the most positive, continuing optimistic look of our ability to get past the evil that was on the horizon. Now that cloud is right over us, and I don't know if we're going to be able to avoid the lightning strikes that are about to start hitting us.
I don't know if you heard this morning, it was leaked very early on that Hunter and his lawyers have cut a deal on the tax charge. It was supposed to be tax evasion charge in Delaware. And the other thing was he lied on his application to buy that gun, which is a federal violation. Both of those, by the way, typically are criminal charges, and there's jail time involved. Well, as the story was leaked out this morning, we were told after the story came out, well, that's just an offer by Hunter and his lawyers. It's still got to be approved by a judge. And what they're saying they need to approve is apparently part of the deal is no jail time and just a pleading guilty to some minor federal charges that would be expunged from his record after 24 months. But there's no nepotism up there. None whatsoever.
No, this is not a two-tiered justice system at all, is it? I mean, we know beyond any shadow of a doubt, because we now have verifiable proof, and this has been completely verified by the New York Times, Washington Post, right on down the line. Pick your MSM acronym, and you know, we now know that the contents of Hunter Biden's laptop have implicated him in something on the order of, and this is an amazing number, something on the order of 400 verifiable crimes. This is not even yet getting into everything that has been discovered as a result of what was found on that laptop in terms of the Burisma schemes and the big guy payoffs and all of this. But at 400 verifiable crimes, to give him a slap on the wrist with misdemeanor tax charges, misdemeanor gun charge, no jail time. Dan, if you and I had committed only a fraction of the number of crimes that we know that Hunter Biden has committed now, we would never, ever see the light of day again as a free man.
I spoke to one lawmaker about this, I guess, a week or two ago. And I said, how do you think this is going to flesh out? Do you think it'll ever be resolved? And he kind of chuckled and said, yeah, it'll be resolved, and I don't think there'll be much to it. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, conventional wisdom in D.C. about Hunter is there's really no reason to charge him with what those problems, I guess you call them problems, those things, those laws he broke. There's no need to charge him with anything serious from those, no matter how serious they are, because if they do a serious charge and he gets convicted of something, his daddy will just give him a free ride away from it. He'll give him a pardon. So it doesn't matter. Nobody wants to go through that pain and agony. There's no two-tiered justice system, right? They tell us that over and over again. Like you said, if you or I had done just a little bit of what's on that laptop. And by the way, I saw some of the stuff on the laptop, and I got to tell you, in many respects, Hunter, he quickly became my hero because he does some things that I could never potentially do myself. Oh my gosh, I would never do them, but my God. All of those things, it was all the videos, if you saw even one of them. Everything within it is federal violations of laws. I mean, drugs out the wazoo. He even admitted that he would get down on the carpet and the floor and hunt for anything that he could put in a crack pipe and smoke. He was that desperate. This is happening. Yeah. This is in our White House family. This is happening, and nobody's thinking anything about it. It's like it's going to be swept under the rug.
I thought this whole pardon issue through, that if they did in fact indict Hunter on more of these crimes, and the serious ones, the felonies, if they went on ahead and did that, and if his father pardoned him, I think everybody in the country would expect that. And, you know, it's his son, and he has the power to do that as president. He can pardon anybody. I say, Let that happen. Put it in front of the American people. Let it happen. Let it play out. Because the most important thing that we, that the GOP needs to make happen, and the most important thing that a real Department of Justice needs to make happen, is that there is a trial. Because in a trial, there is a thing called discovery. And in discovery, all of these things will be made known. They will all have to answer for them. In fact, the big guy probably will have to answer for those himself in a trial. He'll have to wait till after the conviction to pardon him. But the point being is that this needs to take place. And I don't, at this point, I don't know. I don't know if anyone has the you-know-what to go out there and to take Biden down for the crime. And I'm not talking about Hunter now. I'm talking about the big guy, his dad, and to take him down for the obvious crimes that we know that he has committed, especially as we're seeing the hypocrisy of the Department of Justice. We're seeing their focus completely, totally, 100% on Trump. And believe me, this thing is not over. I don't know if you saw this also today, but they also announced trial date. The judge in Florida has already selected a trial date for Trump for September the 24th. It's supposed to begin. Dan, that's just a couple of months away. And when we're talking about 37 federal charges with the potential of 400 years of sentencing to prison if found guilty on all those charges, there is no way that this trial is going to begin September 24th. It's not even going to take place. There is so much work that has to be done. There are going to be so many motions. There's going to be so much attack on those individual charges from his legal team. There's going to be so much discovery that has to take place that it is absolutely impossible. It just blows my mind that she even had the temerity to set a September trial date for this.
I think she probably didn't have a choice. She had to move forward with it because we all know. In the first segment on the show today, I broke it down based upon the classified documents and getting people that are going to be seeing all these documents, getting them the credentials so that they can do that. It will take months. This trial will not happen before the 2024 election. She can say what she wants. She can bang the gavel and call everybody together. But when it starts rolling out, it's going to take more than 2 years just to get the evidence entered into the court to be considered.
Right.
And then nobody's going to be able to read most of it because it's all classified.
Yeah. Yeah. They've already told us that. And they told us that, of course, that the Trump team can't leak any of this information. They can't leak any of that evidence. Yeah. Of course, that doesn't keep the DOJ from leaking anything that they want to, because that's what they do for a living. So that's going to happen over this course of time. And then I've seen, you know, on the other side, I've seen people already saying this morning, well, maybe this is what Trump wants to happen. You know, he's playing that 9D chess again. And maybe that's he wants it to happen and get it over with because he knows he's going to win and he knows he's going to get a favorable jury in Florida, blah, 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 and that he wants to just get it over before the campaign season begins. I don't see either of these things as being likely scenarios. I agree with your scenario to be much more likely.
I don't think he gives a rip whether it comes quick or goes a long way. I think he gets power from these attacks that are nonstop against him. I think he does because he is viewed by millions of Americans, tens of millions of Americans, as the victim of a wicked, evil left government. And doing so and feeling that way is real because that's the facts. He is the target of everybody on the left. And why is that? Steve, why is he such a big target?
Why is Trump such a big target? Well, first of all,
you aren't expecting this.
No, I wasn't expecting that question at all, and that's okay. I'm emotionally and intellectually prepared for it. And when I say emotionally, because I have my feelings, my own personal feelings about Trump.
Yeah.
I also have my own intellectual analysis about Trump as both a man and as a president. And we've talked about this over the many months since I've been with you on Tuesday mornings. And that is this. I personally do not like the man. I personally have evaluated, though, on the intellectual side of my brain, I have evaluated his presidency as about a 50-50 proposition, which puts him 50 full points ahead of Biden in terms of quality of his presidency. And in terms of the things that he did right on the ledger of the things that I think that he did wrong when he was president, I am willing to, and I've said this already, if he gets the nomination, I am willing to support him against whoever the Democrats put up. That on the table, I will tell you now why I think that is that 50% that he does right, they see him as a danger, and this is cliche, but it's absolutely true. He is a danger to the deep state. That is why, when we consider that the FBI, the DOJ, the CIA, when we consider that all of those elements, those three-letter agencies, worked so hard before the 2016 election to make sure that he did not win that election, and they failed, and then they worked so hard yet again, and they ratcheted it up, except they went very clandestine this time. This time they went to the information process. They went to directly to Mark Zuckerberg at Facebook. The FBI sat down with him, and they said, you have to suppress, you have to spike, you have to shadow ban, and you have to deplatform people that put information about the Hunter Biden laptop out there. And then, of course, through the Twitter files, through those investigative journalists that Elon Musk allowed to come in and look deep into their code, and what they found and what they saw in those files and what they saw in the email exchanges, what they saw in their business notes, is they saw that they had somewhere on the order of 70 to 80 FBI agents and CIA operatives working inside the office building at Twitter, helping those employees, those programmers, design code specifically to deplatform, to block, to shadow ban, and to suppress information that was positive about Trump or that was negative about the Biden administration. And we know now by polling, forget the election fraud, forget everything else that you think you know or you want to know or that you believe about. Or, in fact, Dan, forget your own lying eyes. Forget the fact that we saw the trucks pull up with thousands of pre-printed ballots in it. Forget about the vans that were full of those ballots. Forget about the ballot stuffing that we've seen on the video. Forget about all of that. Just the fact that they engaged in a subversive information war, we now know that the election would have turned in Trump's favor because something on the order of 16 to 17% by professional scientific polling, 16 to 17% of Biden's own voters in 2020 would not have voted for Biden if they had just known about the Hunter laptop story. That is, polling tells us that. If that's the case, not only does he win the five or six contested counties. We're not even talking about states here. They were able to target just five or six counties. Not only would Trump have won those counties substantially, but when you take and extrapolate that 16 to 17% across the rest of the country, we would have seen a landslide victory on Trump's behalf on the order of maybe not quite as close, but maybe something on the order of Reagan's victory in 84. That's how substantially the information campaign, or the de-information campaign, came from, disinformation, I should say, from America's own deep state three-letter agencies. And that is your answer. That is the fear that they have of Trump. And because if he gets the nomination this time, and if he was to win the election this time, he would be what they call that lame duck president. He's got nothing to worry about. He will never be in another race. He never has to worry about his political future ever again. He will never run for another office. And he will be able to as he said in that one speech where he said, I will be your retribution. And that's what they fear.
By the way, in that 84 election, Reagan won all but one state.
Mm-hmm.
What state was that?
Minnesota.
And why did Minnesota go against Reagan?
Why did Minnesota? Well, I mean, it was the home of Hubert Humphrey, for one. It was also the home of Mondale, who was the VP. who was the opposition.
Yeah, that was the only state, Walter Mondale.
Yeah.
That may never happen again in history, but I think we may be looking at something like that possibly happening now. And if you remember, the nation was really, really struggling back then. Reagan came in and he did his deal, but he had been doing it for 4 years already. So he had a track record that the Americans looked at. Right now, there's a guy that has declared to run. And even though he is not the incumbent, he was president for 4 years. We've seen the left throw everything they could possibly come up with against Trump. Think about it. The Russia collusion story, $40 million with 23 of the toughest defense attorneys, far-left defense attorneys in the nation. They could not find any collusion between the Trump campaign and Russia at all. Twice he was impeached. And look at what's going on now. We know everything about Mar-a-Lago and the classified documents there. We know this about Joe Biden. 1,850 boxes of classified documents scattered around at four different locations we know about now. 1,850 boxes. When he was a vice president who had no right to have one document, let alone 1,850 boxes of classified documents. And of course, we know all about the Mar-a-Lago stuff every day. We talked about it. That judge has set a trial date in that. What's going on in the Biden DocuGate scandal? Give us the details. Well, I mean, you're plugged into D.C. Where do we stand on that?
This is exactly what I was saying earlier. Where we stand is we're waiting around while the GOP have their, thumbs up their butts. Sorry to be so graphic about this, and doing absolutely nothing other than sending out mean tweets and letters to the various heads of all the three-letter agencies complaining about this until they start holding these guys in contempt of Congress after they bring them in and they refuse to answer questions or they lie blatantly. Until they start taking action, nothing is going to happen. Until they start perp walking these guys and putting them in jail for contempt, then these guys are not going to start releasing the documents that we need to see. And that is the biggest problem right now, Dan, is for some reason, and it goes back maybe to what I was saying earlier about the unrevealed, below-the-surface influence that has permeated not just the left side of the aisle, but the right side of the aisle in D.C. as well, that's coming from the Chinese Communist Party, coming from the Soros money. Because you bring up Biden's 1,850 boxes, Barack Obama has over 1 million documents in storage in a warehouse in Chicago, ostensibly just waiting for the day that the Obama library is built, I suppose. But why isn't anybody sifting through those documents right now and seeing what he has?
Let me tell you why. Let me give you the answer. We were told that. We were out there beating that drum because we actually carried pictures of those trucks that transported all the documents from D.C. to Chicago. And we were told by the then chairman of the National Archives, it has universal oversight mm-hmm. of all classified documents for every White House. They are responsible, we're told. They took responsibility for maintaining the control of those documents, even though there's nobody in Chicago with the documents, but they're keeping control of those documents from Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. If you believe that, stand on your head for about 30 minutes.
You know, we see right now, we saw, and this goes into something we were saying just a moment ago about what could happen in 24 election. And that is this. We saw with the New York indictment, we saw Trump's polling numbers go up. We saw them go up yet again with the federal indictment there in Florida over the documents at Mar-a-Lago. But let's not allow your listeners right now to forget that neither one of these are the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail, the golden chalice of the Democratic Party right now, is to indict Trump for January 6th as a seditious conspirator. And many analysts on both sides believe that that's coming. That's the next hammer to drop. And if that drops, I don't know what America's right wing is going to do or how they're going to react to that one. But, and I also don't know what the polling is going to do, but I suspect it's going to be another bump yet again. And I think that the American people as a whole may actually see that they've taken this too far. And I don't know when it's going to happen. I have heard from insiders who say that it's probably going to take place sometime toward the end of the summer, long before this trial classified document trial ever begins, but that particular indictment is going to drop as well.
There's no doubt in my mind it's going to happen, but I have no question whatsoever what the American people are going to do in response. Most Americans, and the polling already shows this, most Americans believe that the charade that was created about the responsibility for the J6 stuff, they believe that it's false. They believe that it's propped up and manipulated. And there are so many people that have come to life, like, Steve Baker is one from the J6 stuff, because you were there in the middle of it. And yes, we've made it very clear. You made it very clear. There were people there that did some really bad things. And every one of those people, many of them have already been prosecuted, some still pending. But if you broke the law, you got to pay the price. But the majority of the stuff that has been created, remember, they hired a producer from Hollywood to come in and produce the January 6th committee's faux investigation.
Right.
None of that resonated with the American people as being true. And of course, there was no cross-examination of witnesses. The two Republicans that sat on that committee, they couldn't ask questions. They couldn't present any evidence. It was a charade. And America watched that. And we kept waiting for the shoe to fall. You know, the one that would show that the White House was coordinating everything. And they haven't found it. It's not out there. And I guess I'm pretty confident the reason it hasn't been found is it doesn't exist. Yeah, the president was being the president. And if they start bringing everybody up before the American people that have legally, on the date when the votes, the Electoral College votes are presented, through history, Democrats have been the ones that have come and have objected again and again and again, way more than the Republicans have, about the Electoral College vote count. They don't want to talk about that. The American people are seeing these things pile up. And if they go down that J6 road and they try to use that as the noose to hang Donald Trump, I think there will be a tsunami in 2024. That Donald Trump will win the election in a landslide. And even if he wins it from behind bars, wouldn't that be something? We would have a president that would have to be incarcerated in the White House and couldn't leave. They'd have to create a jail there for him. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe we're even having this conversation, and it is a real possibility. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. 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 And I am still that guy, not fully on the Trump bandwagon. But I will tell you that, as I've said before, the last 2.5 years, I have been the reluctant defense attorney myself in so many cases or so many stories of having to defend this guy over and over again against the unfair and just illicitly hypocritical actions coming from the Department of Justice, Biden's Department of Justice. Let's just be clear about that. And I can only, I've already fantasized this out in my mind, because I have a feeling that if this January 6th seditious conspiracy charge is laid on former President Trump, I kind of think I know who the judge is going to be.
Uh-oh.
I think it's going to be Judge Amit Mehta. And let me tell you why I think I know that this is true. Not only has he been the hanging judge thus far in most of the big January 6th trials, he has single-handedly handed down the longest sentences so far. He's also been the one that I watched every single day for 9 weeks in the courtroom and how he handled that particular trial. But he's also been assigned, and this, the American public doesn't know this, there's a civil lawsuit that has been filed in a January 6th case. You remember the officer, Brian Sicknick. He's the only officer who died ostensibly as a result of what happened on the day before, on January 6th, but he didn't die until the 7th, even though the coroner, the medical records show that he suffered 2 strokes on the 7th. We have now seen video, thanks to Tucker Carlson, that Sicknick was fine and walking around, that he never got hit by a fire extinguisher. That was a lie that the media perpetrated immediately on day one. But we know that as it was portrayed by the media, that he was killed on January 6th or as a result of January 6th, is not true. But nevertheless, the Sicknick family is suing President Trump for his death. All right. So there's a in the courts right now working its way through. This lawsuit has already been assigned. And guess who the judge is? The judge on the civil case is Judge Amit Mehta. And the reason why I'm so closely interested in that particular case is because there was another January 6th defendant who was actually accused as the cop killer himself. His name is George Tanios. He's from West Virginia. He was never at any time, thank God, and this is why this video needs to be released. Had we not had cell phone camera video that proved that Tanios was never closer than 100 feet from Officer Brian Sicknick, he would have been jacked up and been charged, not only charged because he was charged, but he would have been probably spending the rest of his life in prison for the murder of Brian Sicknick. But fortunately, video evidence came out through discovery that he was never closer than 100 feet. He had spent 5.5 months in prison already for that charge. He's got the most significant victory so far in all of the January 6th cases. The D.C. appellate court gave him a 3-0 ruling in his favor and basically slapped the judge over his case and said, let him out now. Because despite that video evidence, they were still holding this poor guy. And they finally let him go. He's finally back home with his family. And he is also, Dan, named in that lawsuit. Can you imagine? The guy was never closer than 100 feet from the officer who died the next day. And he won a 3-0 appellate ruling in his case saying, let him out of jail now. And then months later, he gets a notice through his attorneys that he is named in a lawsuit from the Sicknick family, along with his co-defendant in the case is President Trump. And the judge over that case is Judge Mehta.
Here's who's
going to get that trial.
Here's what this is all about. I have a friend that owns a company that what he does is he has a whole fleet of attorneys, and they scout around the nation for civil lawsuits, the big ones. And they go to the litigants, the people that are suing these big corporations or these wealthy individuals, and it costs a fortune to go through a big trial like that, and a lot of these people don't have the money to ride all the way through. He will buy those lawsuits from these litigants, and they get a bunch of money up front, and then typically a little bit of small percentage of what happens at the end of it, but they're always going to get the upfront money, and so they go for it. This probably would be something like that that Sicknick is going to have to, not his family, but the guy, the officer that's going to be, that not the officer, the guy that you just talked to us about, that
George Tanios.
I couldn't think of his name. They know, the family knows. They've got attorneys now that have propped them up. They know this guy. He doesn't have the money to ride through this, a federal trial. Oh,
absolutely
my gosh, you're
not
talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Hundreds
just
of thousands
to go through
of dollars.
And especially with your co-defendant being the former president of the United States. And so the family is confident they're going to get a chance to settle it. And it comes up to dollars and cents. That's what we are dealing with in our judicial system in the United States. And it's sad, but that's what we're dealing with, and it's only going to get worse. Between here and November of 2024, I can't imagine the stuff that's going to go on. Steve Baker, I thank you for bringing your knowledge, your expertise, and your very, very educated opinions to our audience every Tuesday. And between now and next Tuesday, we both know there's going to be some new stuff, important stuff, for us to get together and discuss.
Yeah. Let me tell everybody real quick about this new thing that I have launched, and I hope everyone will join me on that. I've launched a new podcast series called 5 in 10, and that's 5 subjects in 10 minutes. Like, it's a quick hit. It's 10 minutes of your day. You can find me on Rumble and Locals. Obviously, I post them on Twitter, and all of those can be found at the same exact handle. It's at TPC4USA. Just go to Rumble, type in at TPC4USA, Twitter, or Locals. And it's just 10 minutes of your day. So listen to Dan Newman every day. When you're done with him at 11 o'clock Central or noon Eastern, then jump over and hear the latest 5 and 10 from me.
Will you include any story in your 5 at 10 that came from TNN Live? Will you ever do that?
I have already done that because last week was the first week, and so I actually included something that we did talk about last Tuesday, and I have a feeling that today's 5 and 10, when I finish scripting it out, will include some of the content I just went over as well.
Buddy, I'm glad to have you along. I consider you a partner. Thank you, and you have a great week, and we will, if we don't talk before, we'll talk next Tuesday.
Thanks, Dan.
Not just political, not just lifestyle, but always relevant.
Real Truth, Real News, TNN, the Truth News Network.